Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Always enjoy worshiping with my brothers and sisters on a Sunday morning. When I was asked to share, I guess something that's been going through, maybe not necessarily going through our minds, but something we've been talking about is what I'd like to share about this morning. But before we do that, I feel the need to pray to maybe calm my nerves or something, but that God would have his way. So let's pray together again, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning that you have given to us. Even though, Lord, there's clouds hanging over us and a little bit of rain, we thank you still, Lord, that you are God and that you are sovereign, Lord. And we know that your ways are higher than our ways. And we know, Father, that you are still on the throne. And we know, Father, that your word is sure and steadfast this morning. Father, we know that you are a God that is unchangeable, and we know that you care about us, Lord, and that you love us, dear God, and we thank you for that. And so I pray this morning, Father, that you would help my heart to be clear and that my mind to be clear to share the thoughts that you've placed upon my heart, Lord. That it would be that it would minister grace to those that are hearing this morning, and even, Lord, to my own heart, Father. Help us, Lord, to take to heart the word of God. I pray, Father, that the devil would not have his way today, Father, and in the hearts of those that may be wondering, their hearts are being coldened by sin and unbelief, Lord, I just pray that your way you would have your way amongst our people today, your people today. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So a title of what I have on my heart this morning is, I had a couple of different thoughts, and one of the thoughts that was going through my mind earlier in the week was a simple word, is word commitment. And then we were talking as a family, and my wife and I, just about spiritual growth. So I thought, for a title, for the sake of a title, a commitment to spiritual growth is what I'd like to talk about this morning. And as I was sitting there this morning, a lot of times thoughts go through your mind as you're sitting there thinking about how you can start your message and what you can share about this morning. And I thought about things about stunting your growth. And I don't want to use scare tactics. My mom used to scare us really bad about climbing through a window. She said, if you climb through a window, you'll stop growing. And I was a little guy, and I would have desired to be about 6'5" so I could play good basketball. So stop growing would have been the last thing on my mind. So I never climbed through a window. And when I did, when I got beyond that, knowing that there's nothing to that, it still kind of went through my mind. So I don't want to have a scare tactic this morning in causing us to grow in Christ, but an encouraging message to encourage you to grow in Christ. Another thought I had is that growth is something that happens. There's no such thing, I don't think, as a perpetual motion. Anything that exists, that moves and lives and has its being, does so because it is fed by something. Even a motor, for example, it eventually will die and run out of gas. But on the level of life, anything that you plant, or any person that is born, what is the first thing that you're concerned about? Our little Keyston was born, and many of you know that he was born a little bit early. And he was a very tiny little fellow. It was really close to our hearts and minds that this little guy grew. And we were concerned about the grams that he grew per day. And every gram that he grew was another day closer that he could come home to be with us. So our concern was growth. And when we plant a seed in the ground, that's the first thing that we're concerned about, is that it grows. And another thing with growth, if I forget to say this, I know I have it in my notes, but I thought that it takes time. You know, we're people that we like to get things fast. And that's why, you know, we're people, we have, our culture and society has developed a way of living that you can kind of get something in an instant. I heard that Amazon's fastest delivery drone service that happened, I'm not sure where it was taking place at, but they delivered their first package in I think it was 15 minutes and a couple seconds from the time the guy pushed by. So we live in that, and we want things really fast. So we can kind of fall into that. So spiritual growth doesn't always happen fast. So that's another thought that I had, that I want us to understand that when we grow, it's a slow process. But the important thing is, are we growing? Because if we're not growing, we're dying. So a commitment to spiritual growth. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 18. You don't have to turn to this. This is just a starting verse that I thought of. If I can find it here. I guess I had my Bible there earlier. I should have wrote it down. Yeah, Second Peter chapter 3, sorry, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen." So that's kind of the heart behind. I want us as Christians to grow, and I want to encourage us to grow. And I know sometimes in life it feels like you're kind of stagnant. It just feels like life is kind of dull. And I don't know, sometimes I think we can get a bit discouraged thinking that maybe we're not growing, or when I'm reading, the word doesn't seem as exciting and things. So I just want to encourage us this morning that if our heart's in a right place and we desire to serve the Lord, I think you're growing, even though if it doesn't seem like it. Just like little Keeson, we go into the room one day to the next, he didn't look any different. And one day I was in there, and we was holding. Sometimes he'd wrap his little hand around our finger. That's one of the first things he could do. And he held onto my wife's hand really tight. And I told Diana that one day his little hand's going to throw a ball. And we thought, wow, that's going to be a long ways out there. But I tell you what, that little guy can throw a ball. It's amazing. He can throw a ball today. And I'm thinking that's growth. But we look back from then till now. Yeah, there's a big gap happened in growth. But as the process took place, it was a bit agonizing and it took some time. So in your spiritual life, sometimes stay focused. Keep your heart fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I think sometimes that we can look at the Word of God and we can sometimes lose heart and lose faith because of our circumstances and our surroundings. We can just think, what am I doing? Am I not making it? Is it not working? Am I not doing things right? But the Word of the Lord is sure and it's true. I had a little story that I may have shared it before, but just the soundness of the Word of God, and sometimes our trusting it can be a little bit like this story. There once was a man who was traveling on foot through a snowstorm in a strange country. He had to get to a certain town by nightfall and was somewhat perturbed when he came to an ice-covered river. How thick was the ice? Could he trust it to hold him? He began crawling on the ice on his stomach, inch by inch, tapping with his fingers. Sweat poured from his forehead. He was filled with fear that at any moment he could plunge to an icy death. An hour later, he progressed only about 40 feet. He suddenly stopped crawling. He could hear singing. He turned his head to see a horse and cart, laden with people. The driver was singing at the top of his voice as he drove his cart across the ice. The driver knew that this lake was solid ice, and his faith was such that he had total confidence and not an ounce of fear. Such are the solid promises of God. As a young Christian, sometimes we do that. We inch our way forward. We're scared. Is this going to work? Is it going to? But then we see men that around us that are walking fearlessly forwards. Let's trust that. Even in the midst of this, I think, you know, a lot of times when we're trying to grow spiritually and we're not quite able to trust the Word of God, a lot of times we turn tail and run. We're scared of pressing in going forward. We're scared that the foundation is not going to quite work. But it's true. It will never fail. It will never go away. So I had to think of, what is our level? I have three things I'd like to go through briefly. The first point is, what is your commitment level? And then the second one is, how do we grow spiritually? And what hinders our spiritual growth? So I don't have a three-step program on how you grow into a mature Christian, but just some words of encouragement to cause us to continue to grow. Another bit of a disclaimer on growth is that we don't grow to, I mean, this is, my English is a bit butchered here, but just hear me out. We don't grow to get born or to be born, but we grow because we are born. I thought of that. I think sometimes, I know it sounds absurd, but sometimes I think we feel like I gotta grow so that I become a Christian, or I gotta do some more of this so that God accepts me better. And frankly, you know, when little Keyston was born, I just use him as a baby for an example. I mean, he was no more human than a 100-year-old living person was a human. He's a perfectly human being. The only difference is there's a bit more growth. So as you're a child of God, rest in that fact that you are a complete and perfect child of God, no matter what stage of your Christianity that you are in. It doesn't give you an opportunity, we might get to that a little bit later if we have time, but it doesn't give us an opportunity to, you know, to have a carnal mind, which we'll talk about later. But what is your commitment to spiritual growth? And I think if we realize that I am a child of God and that my sins are washed away, that we can have a level of commitment there. I think about counting the cost, the scripture there in Luke chapter 9, I think 57 through 62, you don't have to turn to that. But it talks about us counting the cost. You know, when we face the decision of becoming a Christian and we have counted the cost, when we realize that my sin looks way too big, I can't bear the burden of it anymore. And I've said it before, I think, that if your sin is not a burden to you, you won't get rid of it. But when it becomes a heavy, heavy burden, and life and peace and joy look really exciting, and you embrace that, you can be committed to following Christ. Job was a committed man. Even in the midst of all his trials, he said, and it says that yet Job didn't sin against the Lord with his mouth. He lost everything, but he was committed. You know, in our Christianity, are we that committed? Are we committed to the point where no matter what happens to me, I'm not going to give up? Do we serve God with, Lord, I'll do this for you if you do that for me? There's many people that have said, if you let my mother live, or they pray a prayer like that, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Like, those are not good commitments to enter into Christianity with. Our commitment should be, as I know Paris Reed had said, a very strong statement, Lord, I'm going to serve you until the day I die, even if you throw me in hell at the end. I know that's not practical. That doesn't happen. But our commitment ought to be such that, Lord, I don't care what I go through in life. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go through. And if your commitment level is at that level, I think that our lives will grow spiritually. We need a real commitment. Paul had that. He counted in Philippians 3, 4 through 10. He talked about his life, who he was. He really had things stacked up for him. He was quite an impressive person in his unconverted state. But he looked at all that stuff, who he was, and he says, I count it as a pile of manure. Why? So that I may know Christ. He said, I count those things but dung so that I could know Christ. I think that his desire just to know Christ more and the fellowship of his sufferings. He says he wanted to be in fellowship with the sufferings of Christ and being made conformable to his death. I don't quite understand that level of commitment. I know we love an easy life. We like things to kind of flow easy. We don't like challenges. We don't like obstacles in life. But we were talking last night a bit, like if we go through a trial and we didn't produce the trial in our life, sin will cause you to be in a trial. If you commit sin, you will be in a trial until the Lord, until you repent and go through it. But if God brings a trial into your life that you didn't ask for, sit there and wait on God to take you through it. I struggle with that. I struggle immensely with losing faith in trials. But God has a reason. He takes you through something. And he wants to do something in our lives. So stay focused. Keep growing. And God will make you shine like gold somehow through that. How do we grow spiritually? I mean, I got that written there like I got 10 points here that I got answers for. And I don't. I'm sorry, I just... Sometimes circumstances in life can cause you to challenge, be challenged with where you're at in life. But how to grow spiritually? I don't know. My wife and I were talking about this. We asked, like, how do you do it? Like, how do you grow? And there's a lot of, and I'd like to use a baby as an analogy here, and I know some of these are going to be hard to kind of line up with our Christian life. But a baby is born. As it's born, if you let this little baby lay by itself, it'll die. It will literally die. And there are some states that are talking about that's how they want to abort babies. Just let them, they don't call it dying, but they just let them fizzle out. But if you just lay a little baby on a table and you don't do, when I first looked at little Keyston, I thought, whoa, you guys got to help him. And they instantly put little machines on him and got him. He didn't have to struggle to breathe so hard, but he needed help to live. And as a newborn babe in Christ, you need help to live. You need help to live. You need your dad and mom. You need your brothers and sisters. And I think even a 20-year-old Christian, I've been a Christian for almost 20 years, I still need life support sometimes, if you want to say it that way. But draw strength from older and mature people in life. Because a baby cannot. It cannot live on its own. Babies need help to live. They grow, and they become more understanding. The more they grow, like Keyston, 5 weeks later, he could take all his machines off, and he was breathing on his own. But still in that moment, he still didn't know how to eat on his own. He couldn't do it by himself. We had to help him, just like a new Christian. Like dads, I've been faced with this burden. Like our young children, they need our discipleship. Our young men and women, they need us to walk beside them. And you know, they don't know how to figure life out by themselves. And I had to think about this. A young child, I remember there were certain ways of falling that you just hurt yourself, it seems like, on a weekly basis. And a child will fall. They get up and they fall. They get up and they fall. And we get beside them and say, no, wait, you can't do it that way. You will fall again. And we watch them. If they get close to the edge of a step, no, that's going to hurt you. It seemed like we can do that on the practical life, but when they become Christians, we kind of let them figure it out. And they can hurt themselves in unnecessary ways if we as dads and moms don't try to help them. And also realize as a young Christian, you need help as well. Let dad and mom help you with your cell phone, with your music, as Matt's going to be preaching about today. Just let dad and mom help you. I know sometimes we... As a young person, I remember having that attitude that dad doesn't know anything. He's just old fashioned. But he's been on life a little longer than I have. And he saw what happens when you do this. For example, a baby doesn't know it's wrong to stick something metal into an outlet. They'll walk, they'll do anything. A burner that's hot. You constantly have to be on guard with a young baby or a child that is walking, and if they touch it a time or two, yes, they learn. But do we want that to happen? Do we want give them a piece of metal and just say, figure it out, like stick it in the outlet and see what happens? There's people that do that, but it's a very unhealthy way to let a child grow. They don't need to do those kinds of things. They don't need to lay their hand on a hot burner and burn it. Babies can't walk on their own. And the thing about falling, that's the thing I had a struggle with, just bringing it together. As a newborn Christian, I don't know how that really looks like you stumble and fall and you get back up. It's a process of learning how to walk as a Christian. As I became a Christian, there were a lot of times when I thought, well, I really knew something. And then I would share this spiritual thought that I had, and some older brother would gently say, well, that's a little bit off. And I'll use an example. I heard somebody say one time that I was just freshly converted and I thought I had a spiritual concept. I said, I'm excited. I heard something today. I heard that the path of Christianity is just wide enough for 2 feet, one for you and one for Christ. And an older brother was my uncle. He just says, that's not quite right. You know, you can't walk that path by yourself. You can't even put one foot down. You got to lay in the arms of Jesus. I forget how he told me, but you can't have one foot here and one foot, you know, it doesn't work that way. I just think of those kinds of things. Like, as you grow mature and mature spiritually, let people help you. Don't be offended when they try to direct you in a right way. And I just told my wife last night, I feel like I got too many answers. And I get that way sometimes when I see a problem. I got the answer. I can fix it. And that's pride, I believe. And I want to be more understanding that my help cometh from the Lord. I can't walk by myself either. And a young baby, also, healthy food is always nutritious. As a young baby, milk is their only thing. How many of you have ever held a crying baby and you stick a bottle in its mouth and it just calms down? It's quiet and it's satisfied because it's taking in nutrients. And how do we grow? And I think, like, we grow because we're Christians, not to become a Christian. Remember that. But read the Word of God. Become a lover of the Word of God. And just like food, I'll use that as an example. Sometimes, my wife and I were talking about that yesterday morning. Like, sometimes when you read, it just doesn't seem like it's coming. It's not. It doesn't seem like you're getting the nutrients that you'd like to get. But remember, how many of you enjoy just taking a piece of lettuce and eating it? Albie, wow, you are unique. I don't. A tomato, I don't. But there's times when I'll take a piece of lettuce and eat the whole thing. A tomato, and I'll eat a slice. I don't enjoy it at all. Combine it with a few things, and it's really good. But does that nullify the fact that lettuce and tomatoes are really nutritious for you? No, I think you don't eat that. You never mind. But the fact of us eating things that are not good for us, or that are good for us that we do not enjoy, it's still neutralizing or causing your body to have nutrition put in your body. So just like that, the Word of God, I shared with my wife yesterday morning that the Word of God is always alive. I mean, maybe we're not getting everything that we think we should get out of it, but it's still there. It's still powerful. It's still infallible, and it's still something that will never be changed. So remember, like, it's not always enjoyable to take in the things that are nutritious for a Christian life. Getting up in the morning, spending quiet time. I'll be honest with you. There's times when I deeply enjoy it, but there's times like this morning I had a little rough getting up early and going out and praying. But I enjoyed it after you do it. But it's just that thing that we don't always have to feel good in order to think that we're growing spiritually. Paul says, I bring my body under. So those are some thoughts on growing spiritually. I don't know if that made a lot of sense. But another thing that I thought of, growing spiritually, like, it's about reading the Word of God. I think that's bringing in nutrients into your spiritual life. What is your Christian diet? What are you taking in? And there's so many things out there that are good for you, and then there's a host of things that are bad for you. And I'll be honest with you, the other night I had to go through and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but this is just where I stand on it. I had to walk through whatever's going on up in Auburn right now, and I walked through carnality. I don't know what else to call it. I mean, I was like, I had to go, we lost a disc and I thought I was going to be able to find it up at the courthouse. So a disc golf disc, somebody had found it and said it's up there. So I had to walk through this, and I got in the wife and I said, Diana, how could you walk through that and live? But it's just like, I don't think those things are really healthy for your Christian diet, but God, I know God can work with each heart in that area. I'm just using some examples for my heart. I tell you, it would bother me to be able to enjoy just lounging around in a place like that. And another thing I thought of is abiding in the vine. I wanted to go to that scripture, but we're all very, very familiar with John 15, the first part of that scripture about abiding in the vine. Like, you can't grow if you're detached from the vine. It just doesn't happen. Like if a vine is cut, or if a branch is cut off from the main trunk, it's dead. It's over. There's no life flowing. If you can stick that thing in the ground, do whatever you want, you pour a whole bunch of water on it, it just doesn't stay there. It doesn't grow at all. There's nothing happens. It'll eventually just disintegrate and die. So abiding in the vine, and then you can ask yourself, how do you do that? How do you abide? I don't know. Those are questions sometimes that I don't know if it's... A lot of times I think of the verse in Galatians where it says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. I think using a marriage for an example, like me constantly asking Diana, do you love me? I mean, am I your husband? Am I? And those can be frustrating comments. Yeah, we do that on a daily basis. We tell each other we love you and I'm thankful. But resting in the fact that I am. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. It's been settled. All I want to do is grow. I am in the vine, so abide there. So I don't know how that looks to you, but to realize that the word of God is sure and his promises are sure. When he says it, God means it. We can't do away with it. So rest in that fact. Abide in the vine. And I think for sure, because that's the only way we can draw nutrients from true spiritual nutrients is from the true vine. Because we can't cut ourselves off from a branch and just go try to water ourselves somewhere else. We've got to be connected to that vine. Because if you're not, you will not draw strength. So a couple things on what hinders spiritual growth. Romans chapter 8, if you could turn to that, I'll quickly turn there. I know I didn't read a lot of scripture, but I referenced a number of them. Romans chapter 8 has always been special to me. I'll read verses 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteous requirements is what it's talking about. Might be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, these are very, very simple concepts. And I think sometimes we overlook the simplicity of this here. Just the easy way to understand this. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So check your temperature. Check your commitment level. What captures my attention? If I mind, that means put attention to the things of this earth. Then My spiritual growth is being hindered. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there again, like, what gets you excited? What causes you to be joyful? If it's the Word of God, if it's the Christian life, if it's the kingdom of God, rest in the fact that you will grow as you walk with God. You will grow. So if there's condemnation in your hearts about, am I really right with God? Am I really doing things right? Rest in the fact, where's my heart? What am I setting my mind on? And, you know, there's grace and there's forgiveness when we find ourselves in a place where my mind might be set a little bit on earthly things. God gently nudges us and can gently convicts us, and we can get us back on track and get us back growing again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are of the flesh cannot please God. So those are just some thoughts that I had on. The carnal mind is definitely something that will hinder spiritual growth. And I had a phrase that I would like to read. And this is carnally minded, but we would like to maybe change the word as you go through this phrase. Change the word and see if we can draw some spiritual strength from it. This is from a business owner, and I shared this with Nate last night. This is from a business owner to his wannabe employees. I often tell people that I do not want any fellow who has a job working for me. What I want is a fellow whom a job has. I want the job to get the fella, not the fella to get the job. And I want that job to get a hold of this young man so hard that no matter where he is, the job has got him for keeps. I want the job to have him in his clutches when he goes to bed at night, and in the morning, I want the same job to be sitting at the foot of his bed telling him it's time to get up and go to work. When a job gets a hold of a fellow in that way, he'll amount to something. So when I read that there, I found that anonymous source somewhere from a business owner. I thought of Christianity, Jesus Christ. If you could put Jesus Christ in every place where it says job, if Jesus Christ gets a hold of a fella in that way, we'll amount to something. So if Jesus is our passion, if he's our desire, if he's our reason to get up in the morning, then I think we'll grow as Christians. So I hope that made sense, and may God bless you.